Welcome to another episode of Sitting Around Talking Movies. Sitting here with Bill Bregoli.
Yes, sir.
Bill McCuddy.
I'm present.
And Lisa Rossman is here.
Hello, hello, hello.
I'm Neil Rosen, and we're talking Oscar predictions. This is our Oscar prediction show. Get that Oscar ballot ready. We're going to go through all the categories. But we're going to start off talking about Red Sparrow, the Jennifer Lawrence film. Bill Bregoli is talking to? Boy, Bill Bregoli has spoken to Jennifer Lawrence. We're going to hear from Jennifer Lawrence.
You're just verglimp talking about Jennifer Lawrence. You get all
excited. Yeah, he gets all flummoxed.
Yeah.
Flummoxed. Wow.
You didn't see the skirt she was wearing there.
And,
okay, easy. Right.
So Bill.
There is a feminist here today.
Tell our audience what Red Sparrow is about.
It's about a Russian girl who breaks her leg. She's a ballet dancer. And they send her to whore school. Then the credits roll. That's
Seriously?
The whole movie.
Seriously?
That's the whole movie. That's... You sent me to whore school is something she actually says in the movie. So apparently there's a real Red Sparrow program that this is built on. And that there was a series of books written about it. And all of which sounds way more interesting than what I have to describe as a very degrading 2.5 hours. I took my wife. She was embarrassed by it. Charlotte Rampling plays sort of a teacher. It's very La Femme Nikita-like. And it follows that same sort of storyline, except it's set in Russia. And she's not like Atomic Blonde. She's not supposed to
be a badass.
Like, she's not Jane Bond. And she actually, I listened to an interview with her. She said she didn't want to be Jane Bond. So she just seduces these guys instead. And it's really tacky.
This is honestly,
and I can't
why
tell
I
you.
Didn't go to any of the screenings.
It's not,
I
mean, your movie.
No, I mean, that's what I was going to say, is that granted, I'm speaking without having seen the film, but I am a little appalled that this is the movie that Hollywood feeds us right now. You know, I mean, granted, this movie is probably being made before all the hashtag Me Too stuff, but this,
and
I love
this actress. It would have gotten made after
absolutely
Me Too.
Not.
And this
no,
actress.
I mean, the fact that, and,
I mean, she's better
yeah, but
than
Jennifer
this.
Lawrence to me is an interesting woman. Like, I appreciate her audacity, her strength, but she doesn't strike me, and I'm about to piss off somebody who's listening, but she doesn't strike me as the brightest light in the room. Like, her whole thing about how she wouldn't finish, like, she watched 3 minutes of Phantom Thread and that was enough for her. Like, I'm a little appalled by, like, her aversion to challenging fare, and this seems like a good example of that.
And she's an Oscar voter. You don't say, hey, I only got 3 minutes Daniel Day-Lewis's nominated performance. Paul Thomas Anderson's nominated direction.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm a little...
And say you cut the movie and...
It's cute when you're 19 to be like, ha, 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 I'm clumsy and I'm open.
Okay, she's not that smart, but she's made smarter movies,
No, she's...
Correct?
I mean, honestly, I'm not defending the fact that I didn't see it, but hey, I'm not an Oscar voter. But I looked at the invite. I'm not in a moment where I had to read a review of it. And I was like, girlfriend, make some better movies. Like, this is not the female-led film I need to see.
So there's a lot of nudity in this, apparently.
Yeah, gratuitous.
Oh,
really.
Not a very sexy movie at all.
It's cold and sterile, the sex, I think, because there's not much chemistry between she and Joel Egerton.
Right. Tell me about the storyline.
I don't think anyone has chemistry with him.
We just did, but it's.
Were you interested in the plot?
No, the plot gets very convoluted, particularly toward the end, so it gets hard to follow.
How about the action scenes? Are they like? Is she like? You said the movie is not like Atomic Blonde. But are the action scenes well choreographed in terms of...
I mean, yeah, sure.
Okay.
I mean, it's the same director as The Hunger Games. That's why she did it. But she wears a lot of like lingerie, and that was of interest to the director. And
that's
I think
right.
Bill has a great story about that.
I have a soundbite of her talking about
that. Oh, my God. I want to hear what she had to say for herself.
Okay, well, here we go.
And then there was the time that I accidentally made a mistake. And Francis's intentions of coming into my dressing room, he was being very respectful throughout the underwear process of like finding the right lingerie. So when I would go into fittings, they wouldn't take pictures, which is, you know, you never really go on camera without the director approving your costume. And so they were like, I'm in the lingerie. And they were like, Jennifer, Francis is here to see you. And I was like, okay, send him in. And he walks in and he's like, oh my God, what are you doing? Why are you? And I was like, I thought you came to see the costume. Did you not? It was very, so there was a lot of laughter throughout the whole thing.
There's a great feminist story. She came to the door in underwear.
You know,
like
it's bad. You know it's bad.
You like this movie more
now,
Lisa?
You know it's bad when McCuddy's calling bullshit on the feminism.
What else did she have to say, Bill?
Well, she talked about learning to dance for the movie.
It was actually amazing. I mean, like halfway through, I was just like, oh my God, because like my overall end goal is not to be a ballerina. So I found I was having trouble finding the wherewithal to keep going. But then halfway through training, I started feeling my muscles changing and my body language changing, and also just understanding the mental and physical discipline and the mindset of a dancer, I realized that all of this work, it was actually character building. Yeah. It changed the way she moved. It changed the way she looked and walked. And it was just another layer onto Dominica.
She needs to learn how to read screenplays better.
She's dancing around a lot of screenplays.
I really want to send her all the classes I took, like the textbooks from my Feminism 101 class in Bryn Mawr, I have to say.
Well, and
I have one final soundbite.
I just want to read those side
getting
notes.
Getting used to doing nudity and being in her underwear on the set.
The camera was wide and it was out there and I had to keep like opening the door in my underwear and I just kept opening the door and be like, and then shutting it. And the first time I got naked, I went, and then I turned around and I was like, that's not better, this way, that way. And so there was actually a lot of laughter involved in those scenes.
Well, that was interesting.
Well, we know why this movie came out in February and March now, I guess.
I guess. I mean, you know, they were talking about this becoming a franchise. Don't think it's going to happen. The other thing that, and then we'll talk about the Oscars, is Bruce Willis's new movie, Eli Roth's remake of Death Wish, opened and they wouldn't show it to any of us. And then I found out there was a sneak of it the other night that Willis actually went to here in New York. This thing looks vile. But you know what? The reason I bring it up is because to me it's the perfect anti-Oscar programming for Hollywood, because every Trump gun-toting person in the world will go see this movie.
Did you hear Trump talking about Death Wish? Do you remember Charlie Bronson? Charlie Bronson in Death Wish? He was actually advocating vigilantism.
There's product placement you can't buy. The left will go. Free thinking regular people will watch the Oscars this weekend, and everyone else will go to.
I mean,
Death
it really
Wish.
Is
Don't
an
knock
interesting.
February anymore. Black Panther came out in February.
It's made
a gazillion dollars.
So. Nobody. I mean, I think people knew Black Panther was going to make money, but nobody knew it was going to make this much money. Even the soundtrack is making them so much money. It's crazy.
So Fallon last night had Chadwick Boseman on. I think it was last night, and they did this secret camera thing where they took people after the screening and they put them in front of a camera and said, "If you could speak to the filmmakers right now, what would you say?" And of course, they all went, "We're so proud of this. It's great that it's not just about minority, but it's about everybody, and we've cut through," and blah, blah, blah. And then Chadwick Boseman comes out and surprises them. It's like 7 minutes long. He does it to like 10 or 15
Funny.
Different people. It's amazing. I highly recommend it.
I mean, the screenings that they're doing at places like the Apollo Theater of that movie, I keep on looking at the footage of them and starting to cry, because there's never been a film like this for people.
But,
you know,
the marketing of that movie also is, you got to hand it to the people
it's
at
genius.
Disney. I mean, they've made it so, I mean, yes, they're getting very good word of mouth, but they've made it so everybody wants to see this movie.
But it's also because everybody wants to see this movie. Like, people were so excited.
You've seen it twice,
apparently. I've seen it twice. Like, the fact that they made a movie where the black folks in this film are not the tertiary characters, but the only white people in the movie are the exception to the rule. There's never been a film like this in Hollywood. There's never
number
been
one a, 3 weekends in a row, yeah. I think, unless the Willis thing is a complete surprise.
It's so funny that the biggest Marvel movies of the last year have been Wonder Woman and this. Like, take note, Hollywood.
They will.
So back to Red Sparrow. Bill Brigoli,
do we
would
have
you
more
recommend
to
this film?
No.
No, under no circumstances. And Bill McCuddy?
Badsky.
Okay, so we're going to skip Red Sparrow.
Let's do Oscars.
But let's get to the Oscars.
There's our bad singing.
Okay, so we're going to go through, first we'll go through some major categories, and then we'll do these minor things. Get out your Oscar ballots. All right, let's start with, some of this is really easy. Now, we did a television show. We did a Talking Movies, which used to be Talking Pictures television show, which you could still see. Go to at Neil Rosen Apples and scroll down, and you'll see all the links to it. Or you can go to CUNY.TV, type in Arts in the City, and you can watch it there. And then at the bottom of that page, there's also, so the Arts in the City segment's like 4.5 minutes where we do picture, actor, and actress. But then a lot of the other categories you could see at the bottom of that Arts in the City page. It's a web extra.
So now everybody just stopped their machine and they're going to go to that website.
Well,
no,
Lisa,
listen
Bill
to
and I
instead. Because we've changed some of our opinions.
I've changed one. But let's get to that in a minute. Let's talk about some easy stuff.
Best
so Bill
picture.
Brigoli,
yeah.
Who do you like for Best Supporting Actor?
Actor in a supporting role.
Actor in a supporting role.
Well, we have Willem Dafoe, Woody Harrelson, Richard Jenkins, Christopher Plummer, and Sam Rockwell. I like Christopher Plummer a lot. As far as who I think will win.
Who do you think will win?
Probably Sam Rockwell.
Rockwell will definitely win.
You could say who you want
but
to
win. But if there's going to be a, I think we can also add, if there's going to be a surprise, it'll probably be Willem Dafoe.
Well, that won't be such a surprise. I mean, this was—he was the front runner until Three Billboards got a lot of momentum behind.
Well, I also think that there's that people who are finally seeing Florida Project are realizing that it might have been over. I mean, I know you guys aren't a fan, but a lot of people are.
I like that movie, but a lot of people hated it.
I
was
so bored.
We've established that you didn't like it, but a lot of people did.
But they can like an actor enough to give him.
You said it like twice every time.
They can like an actor enough to give him a statue.
What I'm saying
is,
and I also think that it might be a nod to the film, which what I was about to say is that it got omitted in a lot of other categories. So it might be the nod. I still think that Sam Rockwell will win it. It's actually a really strong performance in a film that I think is mediocre, but I've shifted my opinion about what will win
Best
Picture.
I think the Oscars are tired of rubber stamping everything else that everyone else has done. So I think that's what could maybe win it for Willem Dafoe. I predicted Willem Dafoe on the TV show. And I think it's going to happen.
Well, I predicted on the TV show Sam Rockwell. I'm sticking with Sam Rockwell. Not only do I think he will win, it's terms of who do I want to win and who do I think should win. I also go with Sam Rockwell. It's a very interesting character in that movie, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, in the sense that you hate the character and then you wind up towards having sort of liking the character. It's a very difficult thing to pull off to have, you know, character that you clearly can't stand, or at the end you're kind of rooting for the character, and I think Rockwell does a great job. So I'm going.
Well,
with
I've been. You're not wrong in what GoldDerby.com would say. I've been helping them out this season, and they pick Rockwell number one, Dafoe number two, Christopher Plummer actually comes in number three, Jenkins is four, and Woody Harrelson, which I think could actually be a surprise.
No way.
So I'm going with Rockwell. Lisa's going with Rockwell. Bill Bergoli's going with Rockwell. And you're actually going with Willem Dafoe.
Yeah, I'm
going
to say Willem Dafoe. Yeah, I'm upset.
All right, we'll make an Oscar bet after
all right,
this.
All right, let's right.
Keep this moving.
All right, actor and actress in a supporting role. Well, to me, this is a two-person race. And it's between Allison Janney for I, Tanya and
Laurie Metcalf
for Lady Bird. And, you know, if you would have asked me this a couple of months ago, I would have said that Laurie Metcalf was kind of going to win. But I think that Allison Janney is going to win for I, Tanya. I think that, as I said on the TV show, I'm fine with that. Good performance. I think Laurie Metcalf gives more of a, as I think you said, Lisa, that you think that the Janney performance is more of a one-note thing, where the Laurie Metcalf performance is more of a multi-layered performance, and I agree. So I guess I'd want Laurie Metcalf, but I think Allison Janney, who I'm okay with, is going to win.
I actually think if either one of them won, I'd be perfectly happy. I when we did the show, I was really convinced it was going to be Allison Janney, but you know how much it pains me when I say this, but I tend to agree with Bill that Oscars is going to try this year to distinguish itself a little bit from the run, and I have a feeling Laurie Metcalf has this one in the bag.
Really?
I do. I changed my mind on
that. Yeah, I've been saying Metcalf all along. I like Janney, but I love I, Tanya, and they didn't.
I mean, it's a real scenery-chewing performance.
There hasn't been enough love for I, Tanya, and this is where it could happen.
Yeah.
But here's what's interesting about this category is that normally this is the category where there's an ingenue that upsets. There's really nobody there except Mary J. Blige. So I think this is Laurie Metcalf.
By the way, Mary J. is 47.
No, I'm just saying there's no, like, young newcomer. You could consider her a newcomer in the acting arena, and she's the only one like that here. But that's just not going to happen. So... I'm going to say Laurie Metcalf,
well,
too.
To your point, Bill, you said that the Oscars might want to do something different. I don't think they usually do things differently. And Laurie Metcalf, as good as that performance was, and that's who I would like to see win, has not won one single award during award seasons for any of the other award shows. It's been Allison Janney who's won everything. So that's why I'm going with Allison Janney. What about you, Bill Bergoli?
Yeah,
what do you think?
She kind of has an edge, but yeah, it wouldn't surprise me either, though, if Laurie Metcalf would win.
So if you're laying down money on an Oscar pool.
Laying down money, I'd probably go with Allison.
Gold Derby lines up with that. Allison first, Laurie second.
All right, so
Mary
Bill Bergoli and I are both thinking
you're really
that
giving some
Janney's
love to Gold Derby today.
Well, I want somebody else besides our opinions. There are 27 people. We know all of them, or we know most of the Gold Derby people, so giving them a...
You sent out some tweets, Bill McCuddy, on... questions. Did anybody actually respond to that?
Yeah, we got some answers, but I don't have them in front of me. I'll retweet them out if they were right, if we get somebody.
Okay, but nobody's asking us any specific questions.
No.
Let's do another category besides performance.
Please.
Okay. Well, no, let's... Okay, let's do screenplays.
Right on.
Okay, so go ahead, Lisa. Take it away.
Let's do adapted first. The options here are adapted screenplay are Call Me By Your Name, The Disaster Artist, Logan, Molly's Game, and Mudbound, which It's a really strong category set of options this year, I have to say.
I couldn't even tell you. I watched, they sent me an Academy screener of Mudbound, and maybe it was the television I was watching it on, but it was so hard to understand the dialogue. I needed to go. And
it was Mudsound.
Yes, and I and I needed to do closed captioning, which I did not have that on the Academy screener. I did not have that ability to do that. So it was very hard to follow the movie because I couldn't understand 80% of the dialogue. But that said, I think Call Me By Your Name is a lock in this particular category. I don't particularly want that movie to win. I don't particularly like that movie. I know Lisa liked that movie a lot.
I love it. It's my favorite
movie. But I do think it's going to win because it has that James Ivory from Merchant Ivory cachet, the guy who directed in the Merchant Ivory films like Howard's End and Remains of the Day and all that kind of stuff.
And so he's gay, and he said this is sort of his story when he was coming out in the 40s or whatever and how difficult it was and blah, blah, blah. I mean, some people call that film real estate porn. I think this is the one nod.
I find it creepy. It's the older guy. And
he's not that. It's like 24 and 17. I mean, well, it's not. Everyone keeps
connecting
like 12
and 30.
First of all,
how old is Armie Hammer?
Yeah, okay,
but how old is he?
In his 30s.
That's actually not the point.
36, I think.
I mean,
36?
I think so.
Well, he looked 36 to me. He didn't look 24. Nobody said that he was 24 in the film.
He was a grad student.
The hypocrisy of guys getting pissed off about someone being older.
Okay,
like,
easy.
If it was a heterosexual coupling, they'd be like, 70 and 20. Get over yourselves.
All right, we're
tomato, tomato.
Feminist Lisa Rossman hour.
We're on the side of the road.
No,
let's get back on the highway.
Let's just say it's the correction to patriarchy hour. All right, I would say
Before we move on from this, I just want to comment.
Let's belabor this.
Okay. Unless I missed it, I did not hear in the movie that the Armie Hammer character was 24.
He's supposed to be 24. I read the book.
Okay, but
he's a grad student.
He's a graduate student. Graduate students are not 36. Graduate students usually go right into graduate school after college, which would put them in their mid-20s.
All right, I'm seeing an older guy. My wife and I are there. We're seeing an older guy. Getting on with a high school kid, you know, and I found that to be especially.
It's also set in.
I think that a bit to be, even though the younger kid initiates it, and I will say that initiates the contact. I found it to be kind of creepy.
Okay, that's well heard, and I don't think you're the only person who feels that way by any stretch.
I'm glad these lesser categories aren't taking very long.
No, but aside from that, by the way, I found the movie boring and redundant.
Yeah, you've established that ad nauseam.
So anyway,
you actually established it in a boring and redundant manner.
All that said, I think Call Me By Your Name will win. What do you think, Bill Bregoli? Who's going to win Best Adapted?
Probably Call Me By Your Name. I'd like to see Logan come out of nowhere and surprise everybody.
Well, I think that's one case where it's just nice to be nominated, and I think that's pretty cool.
I think you're right.
I thought that movie was boring and redundant.
I feel like the Disaster Artist.
Now that's what
I feel like the Disaster Artist is lucky to be in here too.
That's movie that should win.
Cool.
That was brilliant.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
No one's gonna give Franco anything this year.
Call Me By Your Name.
I enjoyed the film a lot more than I thought it would. I hope that Call Me By Your Name wins.
Where does that leave original screenplay?
Original screenplay.
We got
the
Big Sick. We got Get Out. We got Lady Bird, which I wish would win. The Shape of Water and Three Billboards. Now, is the tightest race of the whole night.
I was literally just going to say that.
The whole night. Because you can make a case for absolutely every one of
I really think this is the tight race. I'm with you, man. When I look at that, my eyebrows go into my hairline.
Well, I'm going with Get Out because I think that's the way they honor that particular film.
I think you're right.
And that's what I think it's going to be
Get Out.
But wait. There's a great story about Three Billboards, which is the guy who wrote it, Martin McDonagh, was not nominated for Best Director. This is his consolation prize.
And
the film that wins Best Picture almost always wins Best Screenplay.
Well, in this case, I hope that you're wrong because the biggest weakness of that film is its fucked up script.
Well, best script is Lady Bird.
Yes, I think the script is terrible.
I love the script.
I think the acting is really good. I think the story is terrible.
And
I hate its self-congratulatory little patting itself on the back, Mishigas. And I really hope it doesn't win, and I don't think it will.
Bill Bregoli, what's winning Best Original Screenplay.
This is tight. I have a hard time. I got a feeling Big Sick won't get.
Yes, I think you're right. Big Sick will not win.
Won't get it. It would probably be the Big Sick, but I could see a case for every other. Probably not The Shape of Water.
No.
because they'll give that best picture. It's going to be between Lady Bird and Get Out, I think.
This is definitely the category where the Oscars are going to look for some sort of political correctness points, I think.
Right. So that argues for Lady Bird and Greta Gerwig. She's the Get Out girl this year.
I think the race is between Get Out and Lady Bird, actually, for this category.
I would like despite what Lisa thinking that it's a bad script, what I want to win is Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. And again, what I think will win will be Get Out. There's a lot of people that love that film, and I think I think that's, again, like I said, that's the way they're going to honor that particular movie. So I'm going with Get Out. You're going with
Get Out.
Get Out. Bill's going with Get Out. Get Out, and you're going with
Three Billboards.
Three Billboards. Okay,
but I wish it was Lady Bird.
All right, best animated feature. This is kind of a giveaway. I mean, I think let's
make this one fast.
Although
guys,
I will say that Loving Vincent is an interesting movie, man.
I agree, it's great.
I mean, they
and there are a lot of new foreign voters this year.
But
1,500 new voters.
I think for a change,
the style of Van Gogh painting, the whole animated thing.
No, we get it.
But for a change, I think the movie that I want to win will win, which is Coco. Coco's one of my favorite films of 2017.
Bill, Coco. All right, let's move on.
All right, song will also be the Coco song.
Absolutely.
Although Bill loves that Greatest Showman song. You know?
Well, and actually, the only argument for that song that I was thinking about is that the soundtrack has unexpectedly been selling out. Like, it's made tons and tons of money.
I think the soundtrack's making more money than the movie.
Yeah,
I think.
Exactly. So I is a possibility that it will win for that reason.
Yeah,
so
I think people like that. They like Hugh Jackman. This is the only thing. I wouldn't call it an upset. I think,
Is called
We Are the We.
This Is Me.
This Is Me.
And the song from Coco is called Remember Me. So I got to go with Remember Me.
I'm going to go with The Greatest Showman. I think I am too.
Listen to the logic here, Neil. There's no allegiance from animated film to song.
They're not trying to create a run here.
This is where they'll spread it out. Yeah. I agree with Lisa. This is going to go that way.
What do you think, Bill?
Have we convinced you, Bregoli?
Probably Coco.
All right, you bastard.
Remember Me and Coco.
Straight ticket for these boys.
You guys, when you say Bill, does anyone who's listening get confused?
No,
he usually says Bregoli.
I'll say Bregoli.
He's a little drunk on bagel today.
Yeah, Bill Bregoli.
The carbs have got me.
Thank you, Bill Bregoli. Thanks for catering today.
Hey.
Let's do actor and actress.
Okay, so actress in a leading role. We've got Sally Hawkins, Shape of Water, Frances McDormand, Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, Margot Robbie, I, Tonya, Saoirse Ronan, Lady Bird, and Meryl Streep in The Post. Who do you like, Lisa?
Well, before I say that, I wanted to respond to a comment you made earlier.
Which is
that you said that it was Best Supporting where the ingenue tended to get the sort of the nod.
No, I said
but
that.
I'll take a hit for this.
Slam you're about to deliver.
It's not a slam. It's just that I actually think in the last decade or two decades, it's actually been best actress that seems to be the place where the ingenue gets the crown. But I think this year, Frances McDormand is going to win. I mean, even though she's rampantly unpleasant to almost everybody in an incredibly, in my opinion, funny way, I think she's got this one in the bag. It's hers to lose, as you said before.
I think it's a lock, although if I had to pick what I think is the best performance, I'd go with Sally Hawkins.
Sally Hawkins is amazing.
Because Sally Hawkins doesn't talk the entire movie. Or this, maybe she has a word or two of dialogue in a dream sequence, but I don't think she talks the entire movie, and everything is
Lisa,
done.
Lisa, no comment about how much she likes women who don't talk?
Very funny.
That would actually be your comment, wouldn't it, Bill?
I would say that it's so hard
not
to
in this room
pull off a performance like that and be, you know, empathetic, because you have to be so expressive with your eyes and you can't speak and you're totally sympathetic to this character. It's a marvelous performance. She won't win. Frances McDormand's going to win.
It's a great performance, but it's actually it's a really strong set of offerings this year. It's exciting.
Bregoli, who's going to win in this category?
I go with you, probably Frances McDormand. But who knows? Maybe Saoirse Ronan will upset.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Saoirse Ronan because Gold Derby predictors said that's number
hard.
Two.
She's
the second
hard.
Place, and she would be the more ingenue, although hasn't she won for something?
No.
But Frances McDormand is probably going to take it, even though she's doing nothing on that. You know, we've been to a lot of these dinners and lunches
and
stuff.
She doesn't do anything.
She doesn't give a shit. She's just going out there going at the Screen Actors. I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. She literally said that the newcomers should get their other kids. The kids deserve to win this year, and they should get their speeches ready. She was telling people she doesn't want to win. I think that's not going to work.
Well, Saoirse Ronan, I believe, she's nominated for 4 Academy Awards.
She's so un-Hollywood. She's like, she cracks me up.
She's like very young, and she's got 4 Academy Award nominations. I know she was nominated for
but
Brooklyn.
But you know what? She deserves every single one of
what
them.
Atonement, Brooklyn,
I don't know.
Is
the
Hannah? Was it Hannah?
She got nominated for Hannah.
No,
that movie
can't
is
be.
Oh, I love Hannah.
But she's
a Golden Globe, man.
She is a fantastic actor, though. She really is. Wonderful actor.
Yeah, she's great.
And I love,
great.
I honestly love everyone in that category. It's crazy.
That brings us to actor.
So, okay, so we're all agreed that Frances McDormand's going to win this?
Yes.
Or you think Saoirse Ronan's going to pull
it's possible Saoirse Ronan's
you're betting,
upset.
You're betting.
But
if you were telling
Frances,
people what to chuck, what would you say?
Frances McDormand.
Okay,
so let's go to actor.
It really should be Margot Robbie.
Let's go to actor. Lisa or Bill. Bill, why don't you read the comic?
Oh, sure.
Bill Bergoli.
Timothy Chalamet, Daniel Day-Lewis, Daniel Kaluuya, Gary Oldman, and Denzel Washington.
Well, if there was ever
this is a nail biter, huh?
Yeah, this is like, why don't we just all unanimously in the count of three say who we're going to win? You ready? 1, 2, 3.
Daniel
Gary Oldman.
Whoa.
Wait, you guys, what do you think it's going to be?
Are you kidding me?
You think it's going to be Gary Oldman?
Gary
Oldman's
like
pretty
lock
much
of the
locked,
evening.
Yeah.
First of all,
take your feelings out of it. This is what.
No, I honestly do think it's Daniel Day, and I think you guys are missing
God.
It.
Oh, God.
Yes, this is where I think the Academy will do all the things the Academy does, which I do think it'll distinguish itself. I do think that the fact that this is allegedly his last performance, and it's a very
nobody
strong
nobody believes
win.
That. He's Celine Dion.
I actually think he might be telling the truth. Nah. I just have a feeling
he's
about it.
Weird enough to
I've read interviews with him over the years where he just seemed genuinely weary about the work required for him to climb into a performance. And I do think it's a stunning performance. And you're right. I'm biased. I think that The Darkest Hour is terrible. And I hate Gary Oldman's, like, it's just a soapbox of a movie. Like, it's just speechifying drudgery.
That's an Oscar thing. That's the King's Speech. That's the Queen.
I think
that's
hilarious,
like,
that I didn't even consider that he could win. Like, I was like, no.
I'll bet you money that Daniel Day-Lewis is.
I would not bet anyone money on this because I would lose it probably. But I still think I might be right.
Well, I think, as Bill just said, that is Gary Oldman. You could take that one to the bank, man. Unless there's some major upset.
Gold Derby says Timothy Chalamet is the only shot as number two. They like him for number two. Daniel Day for three.
No, I think that all the things that made Neil and his wife nervous about it will make them nervous about it as well in the long run.
Going with Gary Oldman, and it's a great performance. And Bill
God, it's so
Gary
not.
Oldman.
I think it's Gary Oldman.
Bill
absolutely.
Bill
I mean, you can make. I will say one thing in defense of Phantom Thread is that nobody thought that was going to get any nominations, and it got 6.
Well, it's a great
including
movie.
Leslie Manville, we didn't talk about, and Best Picture and Best Director.
Leslie Mann is quite good in that. She's so subversive.
That could be an upset too that night. But let me just say this. You don't take a movie that no one thought was going to get anything and give it 6 nominations and then not give it anything. I
agree.
Believe.
I actually think
ain't
going
to happen here.
Neil, I'm willing. I think I am willing to make a bet on this one.
Sure, I'll
I
bet
just
you.
Decided.
I wouldn't take
gonna,
the money though.
That's easy. That's
no, I wouldn't. That was
all right. That brings us to director.
Let's do
director.
It.
All right. Read director. Find it on the ballot.
Here, I got it.
All right, it's Christopher. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's
good.
Fine.
Go.
Christopher Nolan for Dunkirk, Jordan Peele for Get Out, Greta Gerwig for Lady Bird, Paul Thomas Anderson for Phantom Thread, and Guillermo del Toro for The Shape of Water.
Who do you like? Who's gonna win? Lisa.
I like Guillermo. Oh well, I haven't gone first. I like Guillermo.
Guillermo.
It's my name too. I say Guillermo. I'm William, and it's fuck you. Okay, so
yeah,
it's
what
okay,
Guillermo.
Everybody's a little feisty.
It's Guillermo. But all right, whatever.
Guillermo.
It's, look, it doesn't matter how you say it. He's probably going to win. He's beloved. There's a lot of new foreign voters, as I pointed out a few minutes ago. That's going to help him. The only other shot, I mean, Gold Derby says Chris Nolan is number two and Greta Gerwig is number three. I would love Greta Gerwig to win.
I know you just love that movie.
He does.
But it's not going to happen.
I did not like that movie.
I didn't either.
It's
funny.
The crafts will go, the craftsmen, the cinematographers, the lighting people, the sound people will all vote for Christopher Nolan.
Christopher Nolan, yeah, that could be a big surprise that night.
I have to tell you, as much as I dislike Dunkirk, and I do not like that movie.
Best war movie ever made.
From a directorial point of view, though, I mean, visually the movie is stunning. And if you're giving for directing, I mean, maybe we'll get to cinematography in a moment. But, I mean, he did do a tremendous directorial job.
Blade Runner.
But I think I really like Shape of Water, and I think Guillermo del Toro is a lock.
I think this is Nolan's, and I didn't like Dunkirk any more than you did at all.
Boring.
I do think it's a dull film, and it surprised me how hard it was to decipher what was happening.
But did he get great acting performances out of people that no one could understand?
But no, I don't think that's what it's going to be. I don't think that...
What, Guillermo or Nolan?
No, Nolan.
Who could even differentiate? No, I didn't think...
No, that wasn't my point, Neil. That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, if you're looking at a director for getting great performances, I mean, Neil's right. He pulled off an amazing feat. Shot it in IMAX. Like, there's a lot of things going for that film.
I don't
film.
Know why I think that. This isn't one of those things it's more my spidey sense, as we jokingly call it.
Who do you like in this category, Bregoli?
I think it's between Del Toro and Christopher Nolan, to be honest with you.
And if you're checking off your box?
If I'm voting myself, I'd actually give it to Christopher Nolan.
But who's going to win?
Who's going to win? Between him and Del Toro.
But who?
Yeah, who are you picking now?
You're on an Oscar pool. You got it.
Probably Del Toro because...
Thank you, Lisa.
He's the guy of the moment.
If you want to see that story, the actual story of what happened at Dunkirk and Calais, I think Darkest Hour, which I really liked. I know Lisa doesn't like the movie.
Oh, wait, you like Darkest Hour?
Yeah, I like Darkest Hour a lot. I think that's actually a story that tells me what's happening, as opposed to Dunkirk. I don't know what's going on over there. There's no dialogue. Mark Rylance, who's a brilliant actor.
He's a great actor.
Greatest stage performance I've ever seen on Broadway in La Bette. Wasted in this.
Harry Styles. He's really good in it. You got to be kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding you. I hated that movie. I think it's brilliant to look at, but from a story point of view, I know Bill Bregoli loved the movie.
Yeah, I did.
But you're one of my.
I can imagine you in Ward, Neil. You'd be there going, "I don't know what we're doing here. I don't know why I have a gun on my back. I don't know who we're pointing this at."
Are you? Would you be a toughie when you were at war?
If I was at war?
I don't see any of you men really going.
He'd be radar. He brings the equipment. He gets everything hooked up.
He would be radar. By the way, new nickname. We're not going to say Bregoli anymore.
I would be in either the entertainment corps or the press corps.
I'd be Hawkeye. Forget so Loretta Swit. I would be Hawkeye.
One of the things I wrote that posts today on Gold Derby is I anonymously interviewed a voter, and that voter, a prominent screenwriter, an older guy, picked Darkest Hour as best picture. And I'll tell you what else he did. He intentionally put Get Out and Shape of Water as 8 and 9, and we should talk briefly about the preferential voting system. We don't have to do it right now.
Who is this idiot?
This
guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
Well, all I'm saying is, okay, this is one guy, but he liked Darkest Hour best. He thought it was the best movie. So Lisa should have lunch today.
No, I just think that what's going to be interesting with the Oscars is right now we still have all these old guys who only pick movies about and by old guys. But it's going to be interesting when they start really dying out in the next 10 years.
Well, I think this year's a testament for that. I think depending on what happens this year, we're going to be able to say, hey, there was some influence of the new more females, more
people of color,
inclusion, color, minorities. Is that going to have an impact? We won't know until Monday, but I think we're taking a step that way.
You mean Sunday?
Sunday.
Let's take a low if the
no,
show
No, Monday
goes.
We'll know, I said.
Well, it won't be over until Monday either.
You'll know. All right, so let's do some couple of these technical things since we were talking about cinematography.
You brought cinematography up while you were rambling on and on. I said it's got to be Roger Deakins for
Blade Runner
2049, and that's it. There's no other race. I mean,
you don't think Dunkirk could pull it out there?
I think he's the Susan Lucci.
I really don't agree with you about that. I thought you were kidding.
Or Shape of Water.
I actually did think you were kidding, partly because
isn't it Roger Deakins? I'm sorry. Blade Runner 2049.
Can I tell you the best cinematography?
It's not on your thing.
The best cinematography of the entire year is not even nominated, and you have to divorce yourself.
So let's talk about it.
You have to divorce yourself from your feelings about the movie, although I like the movie. And I know
so on your ballot, you're saying this is a write-in in your Oscar pool?
I'm telling you that the best cinematography, it's not only the best cinematography of the year, it's one of the best cinematographies I've ever seen in a movie, and it is wonderful.
Coco?
It's Wonder Wheel. That movie, the colors are so vibrant on that movie.
Seriously, tell it to the judge, buddy.
Just look at that movie.
It'll all come out.
Every
the trial.
Frame is like a painting. It's beautiful.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Anyway, that's
definitely going to get an award
we don't
this
digress.
Year.
Well, let's explain to our audience. Does everybody vote? Do all the voters vote in every category? Or
They only vote in Best Picture, right? Or they nominate individuals and then
everybody
they vote.
Votes for everything, but
yeah,
the nominations.
But it's preferential voting in Best Picture only. And what that means is just
I
like your top 10 list at the
last, though.
Well, wait, we're doing Best Picture now, aren't we?
No, we're doing cinematography.
Jesus, didn't we just do
all right,
it?
So you want to do production design?
No.
I want to say Best Picture. I want to tease it. Let people hanging on.
Sound mixing.
We've been on for an hour.
No, we have not. We've been on for...
Warn the affiliates, we may go over.
We've been on for a little over 30 minutes.
Okay.
35 minutes, to be exact.
All right, give us your... Just run through your list and go what you think, and we'll go yes or no.
Okay. Film editing...
We didn't finish cinematography. You guys got in some random thing. Right. We're going to bring the category.
I think that Dunkirk will win cinematography, not Blade Runner, but Blade Runner has a shot.
What if I'm right about Roger Deakins, he's never won before. He started with Susan Lucci. I hope I have the right guy. I don't have my...
The reason I disagree with you is flat out because people hated that movie.
Like, I don't think you have to like a movie to enjoy the cinematography.
I think the
Wonder
cinematography in the film is terrific, but I think that people have such an aversion to it that they won't vote.
What do you
think
is going
to
win?
This might be Mudbound. It might get a
Mudbound
nominated.
Beautiful.
I think Shape of Water will.
That's a production design Oscar.
You know what? Honestly, it's not Darkest Hour. It's Dunkirk's. Sorry.
And production design. What do you think, Dunkirk?
No, production design is more like. Shape of Water or
I think production of a production design will be Shape of Water.
See, I think visual effects is going to that's an interesting category.
That'll be
you got Blade Runner, Guardians of the Galaxy.
You know what I think was the best was War for the Planet of the Apes.
Agreed.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
Is that going to win?
That was really 1,000%.
It might win.
Probably up against Blade Runner. So
costume design.
It depends on whether it gets sweepy. Well, by sweepy, I mean if it's going to be Shape of Water as Best Picture, it'll start picking up all these other technical things because they just vote like a straight ticket.
Yep.
What's the odds on favorite for foreign language film?
Well, I think it'll be a Fantastic Woman.
Yeah, I think it is Fantastic Woman. And
it's
I agree with that. Although I thought The
film.
Square was one of the most outrageous, cool movies that I've seen in a long time.
I liked
time.
It a lot. I did too. Did
you like The Square, Neil?
Isn't The Square going to win? Don't you think The Square is the odds on favorite?
No,
to win?
I don't. I think Fantastic Woman is. It's transgender. It's a good movie.
I agree with Bill.
Okay. What about costume design? Beauty and the Beast?
No, I think Phantom Thread.
Oh, yeah, Phantom Thread.
It's
all about costumes.
I mean, that's a drool-worthy film in that department, too. They're such beautiful clothes.
I think you're right.
I didn't like every dress.
Well, before we get to Best Picture, the category that everybody's waiting to hear prior to that is it's a short film live action. I think everybody's dying to know, and I couldn't even tell you. I've seen none of those short film layouts. All right, let's talk Best Picture. Okay, so on the television show, let me read you the nominees for Best Picture. The nominees this year for Best Picture. Be glad you're not watching the Oscar show where it takes 3 hours to show clips from each
one.
Yeah,
well, we're getting close to 3 hours if you keep digressing.
All right, Call Me By Your Name, Darkest Hour, Dunkirk, Get Out, Lady Bird, Phantom Thread, The Post, The Shape of Water, and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. On the television show, I said the Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri would win. I think I'm going to change my mind. We taped that a few weeks ago. I think I'm going to go with The Shape of Water. Although I will tell you two things going against both of those movies. Somebody came out about a week ago that said that they wrote, that Guillermo del Toro ripped them off, that they wrote a story that took place in the 1960s about an amphibian creature that the government was
studying.
That's
a typical smear campaign. Happens every year.
Okay, so there's that. And then there's a campaign.
And there are the charges against the aquatic actor has been...
And then there's a smear campaign going on against Three Billboards where people are saying that there's racist tones in the film that are
Well, that's not a smear campaign. That's just the truth.
That's true.
Okay, well, there's that going against it, but...
I mean, but it wears that like a badge of honor.
I think I could flip a coin and literally Three Billboards could win, which is what I thought was going to happen when I sit on the TV show. But if I'm checking the ballot today, I think Shape of Water is going to pull
How's
it
How's a fantasy going to win when La La Land didn't win last year?
Well, because La La Land...
She's right. Maybe
I want
that's
Three
true.
Billboards to win. That's what I would like to win. But I think Shape
Well,
of
that's
Water
what Gold Derby says.
Bill Brigoli, what do you think is going to win?
I think more people talking about The Shape of Water these days than I do Three Billboards.
I did a flip-flop the other direction, Neil. It's funny. I've been pretty sure all along it would be Shape of Water. And for some reason, I suddenly now think that even though I agree with you that this smear campaign is very generic, and also, honestly, you can argue that this story is generic, that this kind of story, there's been many versions of it throughout cinema and in literary history, but I actually weirdly think it's going to have an impact in Shape of Water. And I think for some reason, even though I don't like the film, that this is Three Bulletins' year.
Three Billboards.
We'll always call it Three Bulletins.
I picked Lady Bird on the television show that we did. I've now come to my senses and realized that that's just great that it's up there. And I think Greta's had an amazing year, but I think Three Billboards is going to win. Yep. And you guys are all talking about the same thing that's been going on with the experts at Gold Derby or the people we know, the critics around the country. They had Shape of Water until just 2 days ago, and enough of them flip-flopped that now Three Billboards is number one, Shape of Water
is
number two.
No, I think it
but
is
let's
Gold
have Burns. A brief 60-second conversation about how Get Out doesn't have a chance, because there are still people who are diehard Get Out fans.
Anything has a chance, Bill. Really, anything has a chance. No, it does. I mean,
well, explain why. Explain how the preferential voting system works.
I would actually. I can do that, but I understand
because that's
it,
how anything can
but,
win.
But I like your you have a more succinct way of putting this.
So all I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it really easy. When critics at the end of the year pick their 10 best movies, they put them in order. That's exactly how the Oscar ballot works, not for any other category except for Best Picture. Mm-hmm. And they put them in order. I alluded to an older screenwriter earlier who disliked Shape of Water so much and disliked Get Out so much that he put them at the bottom. And that hurts those films because the more
points, which is exactly
right,
why I don't
as many
think,
points.
And it's exactly why I don't think Get Out has a shot in hell for Best Picture category.
Unless
think,
enough people pick it as third.
Right.
Which is was my
I,
lady.
You know, I mean, I
argument.
Actually think that it's the I mean, I know no one in this room agrees with me, but I think 2017 was an extremely mediocre year for film. And Get Out is the only film that we're going to remember later. I really believe that. And for that reason, I hope and I would prefer it to win, but I don't think it has a shot in hell.
I always said about Get Out that halfway through the movie, it opts for conventions of a traditional horror film. And it's overpraised because, you know, once the premise, which is very clever, is gotten out there. It becomes got to get the guy out of the house. Get the guy out of the house.
No.
And it's like 100 other horror films for the second half.
No, I really
film.
Don't agree with that. I think there's so much about that movie that's a total
maybe
revelation
I should watch
and
it.
And subversion of the genre.
I think if you're an old racist white Oscar voter,
there's no
you're
way.
Very proud of the fact that you nominated it because you get to say you nominated it.
And
but when the doors
the
are closed,
there's no way
just
it's
like
win.
Voting for Trump behind the curtain instead of Hillary.
That's exactly
like a lot
what
of
I
people
think.
Did when yep. they told people they weren't going to vote for him. I think this is this
and the
means
way
Get Out doesn't have a chance.
And the way they'll rationalize that is by saying it's genre, that it's a horror film. That
right.
It's not
well, they
a,
have
that
been
it's
doing
not a straight
that.
Genre.
They have
exactly.
Been doing that.
That's what'll happen is that the way that people will rationalize sort of deflecting the film will be the genre, and that's that. But whatever reason, I don't. As much as I love Get Out, I don't think it has a shot.
So you're going with Lisa.
She switched. She
I
explained.
Switched.
She
I already
switched.
Said that.
So
I
you're
switched.
Going with on the TV show.
On the TV show
went,
is the Shape,
you
of,
went
water,
with Shape of Water.
Now
you're
now
going
I think
with
it's Three Billboards.
Right. And on the TV show, I was going with Three Billboards, and now I'm going with yeah. Shape of Water. And Bill Bregoli, you're going.
I love
with
a good interspecies romance, so I'm still going to go with the Shape of Water.
So you go with your heart when you make these predictions.
I saw your prom pictures, and I understand that.
And your
shame.
Listen every now and then. It's a funny show. I said already, but
I'm
I'll repeat
recapping.
It. I picked Lady Bird on the show. I now think Three Billboards is going to win.
All right. Well, it's. I think you know. It's amazing that it's the best cat. It's the big category of the night. And it's the one that has that is the most non-lock category.
But I think that speaks to my point, which is that actually 2017 was kind of a mediocre year in film. I really was uninspired.
Wonder Woman's not here.
If there had to be a year that I wasn't reviewing movies that much, I'm not crying in my beer. It was 2017.
All right, is Kimmel going to be any good?
He'll be fine. Actually, I mean, we're all digging him right now, at least those of us on the left. You know, I mean, he's been fighting the good
Kimmel's
fight.
Great.
I think that he may be, he'll probably get some good zingers
okay,
in there.
You're going to disagree with me on this, so I'm just going to get it out there.
What?
I think that they're going to be, I think he's going to be fine, but I think it's going to be nauseating to listen to Hollywood congratulate itself that Me Too has brought Harvey Weinstein down.
I don't think that it will do any of that.
There are more women and I'm all for more women making
Oscars
movies.
I think that Oscars is actually going to
try to be
neutral.
But they're going to go out there and pat themselves on the back for 3.5 hours.
This bet I would win.
Okay.
I think that the Oscars, yet another way it's going to try to distinguish itself is being the old establishment this year. The Golden Globes got Renegade. A few other awards things got Renegade. They are going to try to get people to keep it in their pants at this celebration. They do not.
Oh, but that doesn't happen. Yeah. That doesn't happen.
What's the dress code this year?
I don't. I mean,
is there a dress code?
Yeah, what is
this
the dress code this year?
You mean are they all wearing black?
Black or something? Are they wearing
black? No.
There's no. That's what I'm saying. I don't.
What about the ribbon?
I don't.
Franco
I don't think
got,
that it is.
I
do not think that this is going to be that moment. I think that there was something about what happened after the Aziz story where everybody got a little bit more confused about hashtag Me Too in terms of
how it's being mainstream. I don't think everybody got the Aziz memo the way you do. I think that they're going to get up there and they're going to make. They're going to make political statements.
Well, first of all, if they do, I'd be happy, but I don't think they will.
Well, here's the thing. The Golden Globes was, you know, I mean, that what you'll remember about the Golden, I can't say this year's Golden Globes. Yeah, what, was it this year or was it at the end of
2017. Yeah,
this year's Golden Globes was how everybody was wearing black, and it was basically about the Me Too movement. What was this one where they only had women presenters?
Which Screen one? Actors Guild.
The SAG Awards.
SAG
okay.
Awards.
So, you know, it's happened on a lot of award show. What percentage would you say, and I throw this out to everybody, will this play a part in the Oscar show?
Substantially less.
Will it be? Okay, substantially less.
I said that before.
Well, anything would be substantially less than all women presenters or wearing something, wearing all black. It's going to
be
less than both of those things. There's going to be a lot of speeches.
Of course.
Who's gonna,
there's
like
going
to
be
Oprah
a lot of speeches.
Of course there will
where
be.
Where somebody's going to come up and
there will no, first of all, there will be nothing like the Oprah speech because that nothing's ever been like that Oprah speech. I mean, that Oprah speech was so phenomenal that people wanted her to run for president afterward.
That's what happened.
I mean, let's be clear. But I don't think I think that some women will say some amazing things. I think if one of these categories produces an upset, like if Jordan Peele wins or if someone like that wins, I think they may have prepared an extraordinary speech, you know,
yes.
But other than, I think it really depends on who wins this year. I don't think we're going to have a lot of subversion in terms of presenters.
I'm already waiting to see what the Trump tweet will be the next morning.
Do you think there'll be a lot of Trump bashing jokes at the Oscars?
No.
Will Jimmy Kimmel's monologue be Me Too?
No.
Will it be Trump or will it be just a you know making fun of the movies that were
it will be
there'll be a Harvey joke in that monologue there'll be what I said was Harvey Weinstein's career should be in the In Memoriam but
the whole Weinstein company is now declaring bankruptcy he really that
moral bankruptcy
well, that company
every
was
bankruptcy
before the Harvey Weinstein thing came
so
out.
Can I tell you my other thing after the monologue he goes I don't know if this is going to happen but I do know some of the people who contribute Kimmel comes out for the first thing and says, here are our first presenters. Please welcome Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty. And they walk out, and before they get to the dais, he goes, oh, I'm sorry, there's been a mistake. Please welcome Jack Nicholson and Shirley MacLaine.
I actually do think that they're going to make a joke about that this
year.
Yeah,
I mean, whether it's in his monologue or the first thing, I think they are going to be there, and they're going to do something like that.
You think Beatty and Dunaway will be there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So traditionally, every year, the best actress from the year before presents the best actor, and the best actor from the year before presents best actress and best leading actress. And Casey Affleck, who won last year for Manchester by the Sea, because he didn't want to stir up controversy because of his, what would you call them, accusations?
I mean, there's been very serious allegations that he sexually assaulted women on sets.
Right, so he's
with
not going to be the presenter.
And
so
I mean, there were legitimate settlements.
Yeah, I mean,
will that be the Faye Dunaway, Warren Beatty?
No, I think they're going to get I think they're going to get that joke out of the way a lot earlier in the evening. A lot earlier.
No, I think that that's a Kimmel opening speech.
Either that
call
or they do Best Picture again this year and they come out with,
you know,
like
they might
Price Waterhouse and like 10 guards. And
they
like,
that would be funny.
They might, I think they might do something like that, like both. But I mean, it's an interesting question. What will Kimmel cover? Like Kimmel's got an axe to grind right now. He's pissed off at a lot of aspects of the hypocrisy of our government. I don't know how that will translate into his takedown of Hollywood. He doesn't, I mean, I actually really come to like him, but he's not as virulent on the topics, for example, of like sexual assault as he is about healthcare, for example. So we'll
no,
see how
he
this
would
goes.
Say he Gun would control. Say Trump isn't watching. Yeah. He's the one who would say Trump isn't watching. He's at Death Wish. You know, he's like watching the Bruce
Willis
movie.
That's what I'm
movie.
Saying. I think he'll come down harder on the administration than he will on the sort of the allegations that have been emerging in the last
year. There were bits last year that didn't work. Didn't he bring...
The tour guide thing didn't work. But you have to try something. And
did he bring pizza in, or was that some? Was that Ellen?
I still think it was a bad call to have him do it this year, but I understand why they have. Yeah, I know you love Kimmel, and I also think it's a bummer that this year we have yet another white male host.
Who's the woman? Who would you like to host it?
I think Amy Poehler would have been great. I think Tina Fey would be phenomenal.
And if they had shows on ABC, they would be doing it, but they don't.
Right, because as I've explained, whether you like it or not, it's the
network that is... Well, I mean, that's not true. Okay, Steve Martin, what's his face from NBC? Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, no,
like Chris Rock. And I mean, come on.
You're Bob Hope.
You're on the network. You get to do the award show on the network.
That's a whole other kettle of fish.
Right, but we talked about this. It was a long wait for Kimmel. Kimmel had that late night show, and he wasn't tapped to do the Oscars.
I still
Chris
think
Rock the year before
bottom
that.
Bottom line
had the
is
Grammys. The, James Corden did
one of the
Grammys.
Myriad reasons I think that hashtag Me Too won't have much airtime is because of the fact that they made such a safe and predictable choice in who their host was. That's to me an indication of
That'll be even more fuel to do it.
No, they're not going to do anything.
I'm telling you, they're going to come out and go. Everyone's going to say at least. We're starting to turn the corner. We've made the...
Yeah, no, they're going to say things like that, which is nauseating and totally hypocritical.
Well, that's what I meant.
But I also... You know what the biggest question is, actually, is you know how all these allegations just came out against that... What's that guy, Ryan Seacrest? Right.
Oh, yes.
And now there's this whole thing about what's going to happen on the red carpet. Right. Are people actually... Now there's a question of...
Well, the E! Network.
Right. The E! Network is continuing to use him as a red carpet host, you know...
But publicists don't want to bring
Oh, my God. I literally could have made this point already if you hadn't interrupted me three times.
All right, Lisa. I love having me.
The big question is, will people stop and actually speak to Ryan Seacrest? And I think that they will. I really just think nobody's going to be able to deal with making him like the short little pathetic
coverage.
Guy.
It's the only place to go. If you're a publicist and you've got a star and you got 2 hours to kill on that red carpet, you have to show
up
there.
But I think I do think someone's going to actually say something directly to him. I'm not sure if E! Will air but I think someone will say something to him.
Well, some guy should kiss him. That would be
great.
We're
taping this show on a Thursday. He's Oscars on Sunday.
I'm not convinced anymore.
I always thought he was gay, too. But I will say
that New York Post headline the next day, Seacrest out.
I would not be surprised. Very good. I would not be surprised if at the last minute, Ryan Seacrest is pulled from this, even though
let me tell you what they'll do. I'm sorry, I don't mean to keep. But I'm trying to wrap this up for the listeners.
One more.
They're gonna put. You can make it, but what they're gonna do? I know exactly what they're gonna do because I've been there. They're gonna put him on a pedestal. They're gonna put him in an area where he can throw to other people, and it'll still look like he's on the red carpet
actually,
and in charge.
He's right.
But
he's right.
He's gonna have reporters. He's gonna have Rancic. He's gonna have. There're gonna be some other women. As correspondents on the red carpet.
This will be how they
and
do
he's
it.
Just going to throw to it, throw to it, throw to it.
It will be the way that E! Saves face.
I don't know who, but they'll
you know
have
that you know
other.
I'm talking about?
Yeah, Billy Eichner. I don't. We'll see.
I love Billy Eichner. He's so damn funny. Okay. His tweets crack me up.
Last point is,
promise.
It's March, and the Academy Awards are this Sunday on March 4th, I believe.
4th, yes.
Okay. And. You know, all of us have seen these movies. I mean, okay, we see them early because we're critics, okay? But I've seen these movies like 5-6 months ago. And the award season was right at the beginning of the year, which is now like almost 3 months ago, 2-3 months ago. And, I mean, I can't believe we're still talking about these movies.
Wait, is this your yearly question about whether there are too many award shows?
No.
And how we're going to cut them down?
They should really move this thing up. I mean, people are talking about Black Panther now, and we're talking about Death Wish. I mean, we're talking about Dunkirk came out last summer. I mean, you know, don't you think they should move this show up?
There's
God's
too much
sakes?
Money involved. There's
you
too
know,
much money involved.
These shows are out. Most of these movies are already out on DVD and are on demand.
Okay, my honest and quick answer to that is this depends on what the ratings are this year. You know, like, because I think the rating is going to be very, very low. I just have a gut feeling that everybody is ennui on these topics. People aren't going to tune in, that the Golden Globes might actually be, it may be a year where the Golden Globes gets more ratings than the Oscars. It's like that. And then they may do some evaluation. But the truth is that simply because of money, it's never made sense for them to have, like, March is what always, or late February is always what works for them.
They won't upstage the other shows. They're pissed that there's as many shows as there are now, just like you are, but they'll never put them ahead of the Golden Globes or ahead of the SAGs
no way.
Or anything
no
like
way.
That. They always want to bat clean
but
up.
But can these movies even make any money that much anymore, except for maybe not many people are buying DVDs. I mean, they're
no, but they're an on-demand.
The Oscar makes the Oscars no longer. I have a direct correlation with any box office.
You know what's going to piss you off? I just read this morning, and I think it's horrific, but I have a smile on my face anyway.
He's pointing at me.
There's a study that says after the Oscars, the man who wins it, his salary goes up. $3.9 million was the average.
And the woman goes down.
$500,000. Goes up $500,000.
I mean, honestly, that doesn't piss me off anymore.
That's a real study that just came out this morning.
Every other aspect of patriarchy does, so whatever.
What do we got next week?
Yes, A Wrinkle in Time opens on March 9th.
That's generating a lot of buzz right now.
Yeah, it sucks, though. I mean, I can just smell it. Oprah's in it. Oprah's out. I think Oprah has a piece of it because she's out
promoting
a lot of it.
Ava DuVernay is the director, and I'm a huge fan of
Ava. Of course, she did Selma. That's why she got the people she got to do it.
Well, and also Queen of Sugar's been amazing. Amazing, and she's a big force. And
but this is that big fantasy movie that they give a director. And
Wrinkle in Time is actually one of my favorite books of all time.
Well, I hope it's great,
and I really hope it's great. And I haven't been to a press screening yet. I'm excited to see it.
All right, so A Wrinkle in Time opens next week. We will talk about that. We'll have probably seen it by then.
What's next week's date? March 10th?
I just said this. March 9th, Wrinkle in Time opens.
I got it.
Edit some of this out, will you? Okay. No, leave it all in.
Sure, go ahead.
All right, so next week, Gringo opens. The Hurricane Heist opens. These are all banner movies, my friend.
Well, Gringo looks funny, sort of.
Strangers Pray at Night, and as you said, A Wrinkle in Time. And but
so we will talk about all of those.
And we'll talk about, our streaming recommendations and our DVD. Is anybody still watching DVDs? We'll talk about that. And, many, many more things. So for Lisa Rossman, who is always a pleasure to be here.
Nice to see you, boys. And fight with you.
Bill Brigoli.
That's right. Eat the bagels.
Bill McCuddy.
Yes, I'm here.
And I'm Neil Rosen.
I'm still awake. Are you?
What do we do here every week, Bill?
We watch the crappy movies so you don't have
That's
to.
That's right. So thanks for sitting around talking movies with us. And guess what? We'll sit around talking movies again with you next week.
Huzzah, huzzah.